All right, I'm Paul.
Hey, Paul.
God, grateful to be here. I've had several people ask me, you know, if I've done this before, and you know, I've done this kind of thing before, but for some reason, I'm very nervous. So bear with me. Let me see. I'm going to tell you, I do it old school way. I'm going to tell you a little bit of what it was like and, you know, how I got into ACA and, you know, what it's like today. My Al-Anon sponsor's here tonight. And he gave me some really cool notes. Well, they weren't notes to him. He was telling me about them. And I, you know, we've talked about this before, but I decided to jot them down because they're so important to me as being an adult child of an alcoholic. And growing up in the alcoholic family that I grew up in, it was dysfunctional to the point where, you know, as an adult, I ended up with these 12 traits, you know, a lot of insecurity, a lot of repressed grief, repressed anger. I have trouble socializing. I have trouble, I'm afraid of angry people. Everything on the list, you know, it's like, I got it. And I want to say at times an acute case of it. So, you know, just to give you a little bit of my background, you know, I was one of four children. My father was a very high-functioning alcoholic. He drank every day. He was an everyday drinker. My mother was a very angry codependent without any recovery, any outlet, and without anywhere to go with that. She tried to handle my father's alcoholism on her own. And it just, you know, she was just a completely angry person. We were affected by way of isolation. You know, there was a lot of shame around that. And so we weren't really encouraged to, like, do a lot of stuff outside of our house. You know, I want to say, and if we did, we were always like sworn to secrecy. You know, I was the third son, and my two older brothers, my oldest brother was roughly 10 years older than me, and my next oldest brother was roughly six years older than me. And so they were that much older. And that gap was I want to say that gap is something that was always a problem for me because, you know, I always felt so small. And I always felt like I couldn't measure up to that. And being that my parents were both, you know, affected by alcoholism, they were basically consumed with their own disease and didn't offer a lot of reassurance or you know, I got no help in that area, you know, and because they had this secrecy thing going on, they didn't like the idea of me going over to the neighbors, you know, like I wasn't really like allowed to pick and choose my own friends. You know, my mother was real controlling around that kind of thing. I want to say that I almost felt kind of like a hostage as a kid. You know, nobody beat me, or, you know, at least my parents didn't beat me. But there was a lot of neglect. There was very little communication. A lot of frustration. A lot of anger. You know, as I got older, you know, my parents used to fight constantly. Another thing that was, you know, my father would come home drunk, late at night drunk, and my mother would invariably want to fight with him over this. And you know, it was real difficult being a kid in my house. My older brothers were that much older. I always wanted to tag along with them, and my oldest brother was pretty accommodating. But my other brother, my next older brother, was not. He did not appreciate my company, which, you know, I mean, there's a certain amount of normalcy to that. You know, who wants to tag along, bring their little brother everywhere they go? However, he was really, he really would resent it when like somebody would make him take me along, and then he would be cruel to me. You know, like an example of the kind of thing he would do. And, you know, I still have PTSDs over this. Like when he first got his driver's license, my mother would tell him to take, like he would want to go to the store, and my mother would make him take me. And he would get in the car and literally floor it down the street, you know, and this would really, it scared me. I mean, scared the hell out of me, the way he would drive. And he could see it, and he would look over at me, I mean, and make eye contact with me, just, you know, literally to make sure, you know, that I was getting the message here, you know, which is, the way I understood it was, if you don't want to be here, then don't come next time, you know. But, yeah, there's a bunch of stuff going on there. I mean, I wanted to be with my brother, first of all. He's my brother, right? I idolized the guy. As we got older, it was, I want to say, late 60s, you know, and there was a lot of drug addiction, a lot of drug abuse started coming up. You know, my brothers wanted to be like my father, and in the way they drank, it turned out that they were both heavy drug addicts, and alcoholics. And I want to say that for me, you know, being the age I was very impressionable. This was very impressionable to me. And, you know, I developed this idea that this was a very cool thing. I mean, I know I've heard this story a million times. You know, and it wasn't until I got to ACA that I realized how this had affected me. I mean, I was like, I want to say I was almost in denial of this up until that point. The reason I say that is because I wanted to be like these guys so bad, you know, that I would emulate them in dress, in talk, in everything they did. I emulated them. The one thing that I didn't do real well was drink or use narcotics. You know, later on I realized that it didn't really matter. I don't really think anybody was watching. I don't think anybody cared. I think I was the only one that this was important to, you know. So I developed this kind of false identity of a drug addict, you know. And that kind of carried me all the way to ACA. Kind of weird. It's a really weird story here. The ideas in ACA of the false self, became people pleasers and lost our identity in the process. I mean, those ideas resonated so deeply with me when I first heard them that, you know, I could not turn my back on this program. I mean, I had to investigate. It never occurred to me that growing up in a family where it was so emotionally neglectful that I was being emotionally damaged. You know, I didn't get that. And even growing up as an adult, I never connected that. You know, all the fears that I was feeling, I never connected that to that emotional damage that I suffered. So I'm real grateful to ACA for pointing that out to me. Also, I gotta say that, you know, a lot of this stuff I learned in Al-Anon too. I realized today that you know, really all I was doing was trying to figure out a way to find some kind of safety, some kind of security. And, you know, all of the kind of nutty stuff that came up and, you know, the dysfunctional behavior. Getting to ACA and you know, and getting into a group of people that were telling the same story was really, really a big deal for me. I mean, I've done several 12-step programs. When I got into this room and I sat down and started listening to the traditional readings, started hearing you guys share your stories, I knew I was in the right place. I have no doubt anymore, you know, that I am in the right place to facilitate my recovery. You know, those laundry list traits, they were also survival mechanisms for me. And, you know, I never really got that. The idea that I was trying to control people, I mean, I kind of knew it because I had a couple people tell me, you know, high school relationships, you know, like, geez, Paul, I can't always be there for you, you know. You know, the pain I would feel, always very disproportionate. And I could see other people coping with life. You know, and man, that used to frustrate me. I think, why do these people seem to seem to understand and get over it and work their way through it? And, I want to say to the point of being envious. I mean, I just was to the point of being pissed. You know, and so you know, I'm grateful to be able to make that connection too. The idea of controlling and being controlled, it's a horrible way to live. It's a horrible way to live. You know, I've come to ACA, I've gotten a taste of this now. You know, and I love the freedom that I've gotten as a result of coming to this program. The 12 steps here are a very beautiful thing. You know, they're rewritten differently from the 12 steps of AA or the 12 steps of Narcotics Anonymous or some of the other 12-step programs, in a way that it kind of takes the offender nature and sets it aside. You know, it's like when I first got here, I think I was still kind of looking for, you know, what it is I was doing wrong or how I had wronged people. And, you know, that if I could make enough amends, if I could change that, then I might be able to find some peace. And, you know, what I've learned here is that, you know, that there was... that I suffered from trauma as a child. I suffered from neglect, and in some cases I suffered from abuse. And there was all kinds of different abuses in my family of origin. You know, there was sexual abuse, there was neglect, there was physical violence. My next older brother was a real violent guy. You know, all the men in my family were yellers and screamers, you know, and my mother was a yeller and screamer too, and she would throw shit too, which could be pretty scary. In fact, you know, I remember my mom one time, you know, her and my dad busted into my sister's room, I shared a room with my sister, and they busted into our room like in a complete fight, you know what I mean, and fell down on the floor, and me and my sister in our beds like, what the heck, you know, I mean, it was frightening. It was frightening. This stuff is like really has really carried over to my adulthood in a big way. So, You know, I'm having trouble carrying my train of thought tonight. And also, I want to say that growing up in the neighborhood I grew up in was kind of an interesting thing, too, because it was like growing up in a dysfunctional neighborhood. My neighborhood was like an extended dysfunctional family, okay, by way of, we all went to the same schools, we all went to, it wasn't a small community by any means, but we would all meet each other at the park, you know, doing little, you know, little things that were community events, and we all kind of knew each other. When we went to junior high school, then we all went to the same junior high school, and we all had we're all baby boomer families, so everybody had brothers and sisters that were the same age as people in my family, you know, my brothers and sisters. So, you know, we would all know the same people, and there was a lot of drugs in my community. I want to say that we all knew each other. There came a time when the drug addiction got so bad, my parents decided to do a geographical and move out. And that's how I ended up in Santa Barbara. I moved here when I was just about to turn 17. And, you know, I really struggled with that move. I want to say that was like probably the second time I had felt so horrible in my life, you know, like being separated from my friends. It was like, I mean, I thought I was going to go nuts. It was on a par with like, I want to say my parents separated when I was probably about 13. You know, that also was one of those like hole in the chest kind of experiences where, you know, I didn't think I was going to be able to survive. But anyways, moving to Santa Barbara was really, you know, I mean, several people were like, God, you should be happy you're moving to Santa Barbara from Northeast Los Angeles to Santa Barbara, man, what luck. And, you know, I didn't get it. Somebody's going to have to give me a nod when it's time to quit, okay?
Okay. I feel like you've got time.
Okay. All right, anyways, so moving to Santa Barbara was when I first started realizing how sick I was, you know, because there seemed like this Santa Barbara was like very clean-cut, you know, community, you know, a lot of normal people, it seemed like. I remember I didn't feel like I fit in. Once again, I didn't feel like I fit in. Cultural differences. It was pretty scary for me. I immediately gravitated towards some of the sickest people I could possibly find in Santa Barbara. I mean, the family that, you know, my best friends were like, they were like the local heroin addicts and stuff, you know, and I mean, I was like hanging out with these guys. I'm surprised I ever even graduated high school. So I'm going to fast forward a little bit here. You know, coming to ACA, I got here as a result of, you know, I went through an experience with my wife where we separated, and I knew we needed to separate. Our relationship was in shambles, I knew it was the right thing to do. I didn't want to do it, but I knew it had to be done. And I was okay with it up until about a month after we actually separated. It was a pretty frightening experience being separated from my kids. I ended up with that horrible separation anxiety. I knew it was time to up my recovery. I didn't really know how. But I'll tell you what, I started praying a lot and reading a lot of spiritual information. I met a guy that, you know, I want to say it's seemingly by coincidence, but it was really kind of an interesting deal where he, you know, we had a mutual friend, and he told me, hey, Paul, you should go introduce yourself to that guy over there. He's new in town. He doesn't have any friends. And I was like, okay, I'll do the good guy routine, right? And I went over there, and I mean, I was like basically an emotional mess, you know, and the guy ended up inviting me to go to an Al-Anon meeting and really kind of Eskimoed me into this new brand of recovery, you know, because prior to that, I was going to AA and I was going to NA and, you know, basically just hanging on to my ass in these other programs, trying to act like I was, you know, just looking for a place to fit in, a place to plug in. And all the while, you know, it really wasn't matching me. You know, I remember trying to help people in those programs and, you know, I would be using the same like shame techniques that I learned growing up in my dysfunctional family, you know, like, and, you know, shame doesn't, man, that's like the worst thing you can do to an alcoholic, you know, is try to shame them into getting sober. And getting sober was so easy for me that, at some point I felt like literally I felt like guilty, and I know this is not my stuff, but, you know, I know at least one guy that, you know, voiced that, you know, to me, like, man, I don't understand how you can stay sober so easy. Why is it so easy for you? And, you know, it's one of those little messages I got that made me want to be honest about that. Anyways, I started going to Al-Anon meetings. And thank God for that because, you know, I heard a message in Al-Anon that was real important. And it was the effects of growing up in an alcoholic family. I'd never heard that before. I didn't know that there was a program specifically for somebody that was suffering from the effects of growing up in an alcoholic family. I was like, you got to be kidding me. That sounds like me, mm-hmm. You know? And, you know, so, you know, I can honestly say thank God for AA and Narcotics Anonymous because they kept me alive. You know, it kept me headed in the right direction till I could find this place. Then I was going to Al-Anon and learning all that stuff for a little while, dealing with codependency, and boy, oh boy, was that ever tough, man. I remember the idea of learning to emotionally detach. I was so emotionally enmeshed with everything and everybody. I mean, I couldn't turn sideways without getting my feelings hurt. I mean, literally. And or feeling threatened. You know, I would feel threatened or my feelings would get hurt or, you know, or I'd want to kick your butt, you know. Thank God for Al-Anon. Oh, and you know what else they told me? They said, Paul, be gentle with yourself. And the idea of being gentle, you know, being a gentle person, you know, was something that was down deep inside, you know, like, you know, almost like in this cage, you know, like it was in this cage and, you know, that, and it wanted to get out. And it was kind of like, you know, how the Grinch stole Christmas, remember? And then at the end, it's like, he has this like spiritual awakening. And his heart was all shriveled up. And it grew like 10 times. That's how I felt. I felt like, wow, man, like, I can be a gentle person, you know? It's right about that time somebody started talking to me about ACA. And the guy had been a friend of mine in the other programs for a long time. And it was, for me at this point, it was about breaking down old ideas, you know, of like, you know, it's a good thing to go to more than one program. Prior to that, I was like, you know, maybe I should only go to one program. It's that false loyalty thing. Like, you know, how am I going to turn my back on these people that I've, you know, and go to another program? You know, I mean, all this crazy shit going on. Like, you know, once again, my feelings don't matter. You know, I'm thinking about other people. So anyways, and that's how I ended up coming to ACA. And it's been a real fun ride, man. Early on in my recovery in ACA, it was a lot of awakenings, a lot of finding out how these survival mechanisms, you know, just being a little kid trying to figure out how to survive growing up in an unsafe, neglectful and unsafe, violent environment was, you know, because it wasn't just my home, you know, my community was violent too. And having to become somebody else, you know, to in order to survive, you know, and coming here and finding out that I don't have to do that anymore, you know, that I don't have to do that. And furthermore, it's really kind of critical to my survival, my true survival. You know, I don't want to just survive anymore. You know, I want to live now. So I've been, you know, working this program. I'm involved in it. You know, I have commitments in this program. They serve two purposes. They get me here, for one thing, and then also they serve my primary purpose, which is to be that gentle human being that wants to give, that wants to help people. You know, nothing touches my heart deeper than when I see an adult child suffering. You know, I mean, I just, you know, my heart just like wants to like just open up and grab them and hug them and bring them in, you know, and say, look, you can come and be with us. This is a safe place here. You know, I'm going to end it right there. If you're new to this program, I really want to welcome you. I'm glad all you guys are here. I mean, I mean that very sincerely. I could not do recovery alone. This program has made my life so much better. I will admit that, you know, the last couple years, I've been struggling a little bit emotionally. But, you know, this program, you know, I have no doubt in this program. I have 100% faith that if I keep doing what I'm doing here in ACA, that this too shall pass. Mm-hmm. And that I'm going to be safe. I'm going to feel safe and secure. I hope somebody got something out of that. I'm really grateful that I was asked to do this, and I'll let you guys go now.
Thank you.